discussing the Tosefta and Shabbos in Perek Tesvav, also find in the first Perek of Maseches Beitzah were two very great Kedushim. Number one, the Tosefta tells us that Ein Meraskin Vela Grogers Vecharubim, Risa Peros is Aser. And furthermore, that if it is done Ayyidei Shinoi, then Eino Choshesh, then it becomes Mutter Lechatchila. We started to discuss Risut Peros in terms of Tchina. Is it comparable to Tochein? Is it distinct? So in the Tshuvas HaRivash and Kuf Pei Dalet, the Tshuvas HaRivash assumes that the Rashba's Heter of the Altar, for example, would apply even to Risut Peros as well, that one has a right to equate Risut HaPeros together with the cases of Tchina, and therefore whatever Heter would apply to Tochein would apply when it comes to Risut Peros as well. In fact, the Pimagadim comments in Shin Chafalet that that's true. So therefore, this Tosefta that tells us it is Usr is referring to cases where Tochen will be Usr, namely a case of La'achar Zman, but if one should do so La'alta, assuming that La'alta works when it comes to Tochen, it will work when it comes to Risuk Peros as well. Another possibility mentioned is the following. If you look in Bir Halach, in Shin Chaf Aleph, the Bir Halach refers to the Magen Avram. Why is it that Tosefta says Lifnei HaZekenim B'Shabbos? What is so special about Lifnei HaZekenim? Magen Avram suggests perhaps the Chiddush is the following, that without Risut Peros, this group of people would not be able to eat the pre as is. If that's true, therefore, this process of Risut Peros is considered to be similar to what we discussed earlier in the Rambam Shita of Chol Teches Hierak Dat Dat Levashlo. It's not just simply breaking up Peros Hierakos, but readying them for the purpose of Achila, and perhaps that is the basis where that, in fact, should be Aser. And then we pointed out the Chiddush of the Chazon Ish in Siman Nun Zayin, where the Chazon Ish discusses that maybe Risut Peros is certainly different from regular Chituch HaPeros. When it comes to Risut Peros, there is Netzina Surah Chadasha. Now it takes on a new form, and that is not the Derech Achila. And therefore, the Heter of the Rash for the Tochen is Mutter La'alter, is because after all, La'alter is considered to be the normal Derech Achila, just as it comes to the Melach HaBorer. However, when it comes to Risuk, Risuk is not considered to be that which is Derech Achila. In such a case, that is Aser even Samuch L'Suda. And then we mentioned the Chiddush Nigros Moshe that perhaps one can distinguish. If you're talking about Risuk Peros in the form that it doesn't become broken down into particles at all, but rather a smooth consistency. In such a case, maybe that's not called Tochen at all. Tochen means that you start it with a whole and you break it down into components or into particles. In that instance, that is considered the Malach of Tochen. In the case of the Tosefta and dealing with figs, Dvela, Grogris, Charuvim, in such a case, that is what happens, because even though you are mashing them, but still the individual particles maintain themselves. Mashenke, when it comes to something like a banana, for example, there, perhaps one could argue that's not considered to be Tochen at all when one engages in Risuk HaPeros. Good. The second half of the Tosefta. Tosefta tells us even though this is Aser, even Alter or Lachar Zman, whatever the case is, Risuk Peros is Aser, this is only if a person does so Kedarko. But if you do it Al Yedei Shinui, if you do it, the Tosefta says then Biyad Hasakin, that is considered to be mutter. We mentioned that the Gemara in Shabbos Nafkuf Me'alef says the same thing. If a person has honey pilpili, so meidak chada chada bekata de sakina, Rabbi Yehuda says that a double shinui is necessary. Number one, you have to use the handle of the knife. And number two, you have to do it one at a time, chada chada, and therefore it is considered to be mutter. If you do tarte, then it is aser. And Rabbi disagrees and says, no, that's not true. That kevin de mishane, since you're doing it bekata de sakina, you're employing a shinui, so therefore afilu tuva nami. So l'chora, great chiddush of the Gemara, that's something which is aser mishum tochein, that becomes mutter as long as you employ a shinui. This lachor is difficult because normally we're used to assuming if something is indeed a malacha daraisa, it is mutter mi daraisa if it is done klachar yad, but it still remains potlav lasser. Here you have the extreme positions in the Tosefta from chayiv to mutter. The lashna Tosefta is eino choshesh. So one possibility is the following. Tosas already quoted the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel and the view of the Shultos that the Gemara is only discussing Yantif. We'll have to see in the next year, the Sugyan Beitz and Daf Yudalad Amar Aleph, that even in cases where Tochen is Asar and Yantif, it's explicit in the Mishnah that if one invokes a Shinui, then it is in fact Mutter. So when it comes to Yantif, even that which normally is Asar as Tochen is Mutter Ayde Shinui. We'll have to discuss whether Tchina is ever forbidden midaraisa on Yantif. Maybe one could argue that Tochin midaraisa is considered to be Malachas Alfa Nefesh, And any halacha that one should engage in tchina mi ba'od yom is only a din derabanan, in which case you understand very well that a shinui would work, a shinui b'mata l'chatchila. That's what Rabbeinu Chanan al Shultas assume in that sugi in Shabbos daf kuf mem aleph. You're dealing with the case of yantiv, so perhaps on yantiv you could argue this is considered timleches al fonefesh, and even in a case where it was efshar mi ba'od yom, nonetheless that is mutter al yedei shinui. But Pashup Shat and that sugi in the end of Shabbos Nafkuf Malev is not referring to Yantif, it's referring to Shabbos as Tosis assumes. The Rambam and Perach Hafalef Efucha Shabbos Lachachav quotes that Gemara as referring to Shabbos, in which case apparently a great Chiddush, that something which should be Asa Midaraisa is Mutter if it is done Kila Achar Yad, if it is done Al Yedei Shinun. So why in fact should this be the case? We did discuss in earlier shiurim, right, the Chiddush of Eglei Tal and the Psichanos Gimel, just in the broader sense, no? And that is that there are two halachos when it comes to lachayad. There is halach of klachayad which is unique regarding Shabbos, and that is a function of Melechus Machsheves Asur Torah. That's what we saw in the Mishnah, for example, on Daf Tzadi Beis Amalaf, when it comes to Melech of Hotzah. Or when it comes, for example, to the case of Ksiva, the fact that if a person is kosei with his other hand, Ksiva biyad smol, that in Shabbos is considered to be klachayad, based on Melechus Machsheves Asur Torah. We saw the Beis Shmuel, the Chalkas Machokek, and Ebenezer, and Simon Kufchav Gimel, that argued that that form of klachayad is relevant when it comes to Shabbos, but when it comes to get, for example, that is considered to be Ksiva midaraisa, and that get is considered to be a get kosher, even though on Shabbos one in fact would not be chayim. So we went through many different marmakomos. Eglei Tal pointed out that in fact there are two halachos of klachayad. Sometimes klachayad is considered to be a din kloli b'chol Torah kula. That's what Eglei Tal framed as being a shinui in echus hanifal. Right? That we translated as the result, the effect is altered as a result of the shinui. However, if it's in what Eglei Tal terms echas hapoel, where the maisa is considered to be kila acharyad, but its effect, its result, is identical. In that case, that is unique when it comes to Shabbos. After all, Melechus Shabbos requires lo sasachom lacha. That requires clear asiya, and even if one deviates in terms of the asiya, not only in its result, it also is considered to be that which is kila acharyad. The difficulty that we mentioned is some of those cases of klachayad, even b'chol Torah kula, do not seem to fit in the requirement of what Eglei Tal terms the echus hanifal. For example, when the Gemara discusses in Shavuos and Daf Yud Zayin Beis entering a bayis hamanuga derech achora, or achila, for example, shaloka derech achilaso. In those cases, lachora, one would argue that's considered to be a shinui in terms of the maisa haveira, not in terms of its effect. It's chalos in that echus hanifal, and yet those are halachos b'chalot Torah kula. So perhaps one has to suggest in a different fashion. Sometimes you can have an objective shinui that is never considered to be kadarko at all. And sometimes, such as the model of ksiva, certainly objectively that's not considered to be a shinui. For some people, ksiva biyad smol is considered to be mamish kadarko. For other individuals, that's considered to be klachayad. Any such subjective shinui, that's halachim leches machsheves. However, if something is done in such a highly unusual way objectively, in such an instance, that's considered to be klachayad to meet the requirement of b'chol Torah kula. Do you ever find that the degree of the shinui would make a difference lahalacha? Perhaps the halacha recognizes a type of shinui, a shinui kal, for example, as opposed to a shinui gamur. Maybe sometimes one could argue that if the deviation is slight from the normal asiya, from the normal derech hamalacha, in such a case that cannot be compared with a case which is so different from the normal derech achila, from the normal maisa aveira. So here perhaps one could suggest the following, and we'll soon see this is a comment that Mr. Brewer has as well. When we discussed in the earlier shiurim regarding malacha shino tzrich lagufa, that there are three different categories of Yisurei Shabbos. There are malachas daraisa, the malachas darabana, and then there are gzeiros darabana. This is the chiddush Shachter develops in Eretz HaTzvi and Simen Vav. And even when it comes to Yisurei darabana, one cannot equate all Yisurei darabana. You can have a malacha darabana and a gzeira darabana. For example, the Gemara in Erevin that we saw in Daf Kuv Dalet tells us that Hashmas Kol, which is only a Gzeirid Rabbanon, is Mutter B'makom Cholesh She'ein Bo Sakana. Or, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuv Chavtes tells us that Amir L'Nachri, which the Rambam writes is a Gzeirid Rabbanon, that also is Mutter B'makom Cholesh. The Magen Avraham writes in Shin Chav Ches, Muktzeh is Mutter B'makom Cholesh She'ein Bo Sakana. What do these cases have in common? Hashmas Kol, or Muktza, or Amir L'Nachri, one could certainly suggest that all those cases are Gzeiros D'Rabbanan. Gzeiros D'Rabbanan. And a Gzeiros D'Rabbanan is Mutter Makam Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. But that is not true of all Yisrei D'Rabbanan. The case that we discussed, after the Malach of Tolkien, we'll have to discuss the Malach of Dash. Many aspects of Disha we covered. But again, Tosus raised in Dafayin Gimmud Beis difficulties with the Malach of Disha. If you assume that Ein Disha Lugin Karka, the Shita of the Chachamim de Rabbi Yehuda and Dafayin Hei, and you assume, as Tosus argues, that a Behemah is not considered to be Gdolei Karka, so if that's the case, if one is milking a cow, and milking a cow, Cholev is Mefarek, which is a Toda of Dash, as Tosus assumes, how do you put all these together? No? After all, animal, not Gdolei Karka, Disha is only Gdolei Karka, if that's true, that should only be an Issur D'Rabbanan. And what's the problem with assuming that's an Issur D'Rabbanan? Tosfos says, because the Gemara writes in Ksuvos and Dav Samach, if a person is a goneach, he's a chole she'ein bo sakana, so yonek chole b'shabes. The only way he can access that milk is literally to access it directly from the animal. It has to be done kilachar yad, in a clear form of shinui. So Tosfos is bothered. Why is that necessary? If you're only dealing with the Isser D'Rabbanan to start with, of Disha, Shlo B'Gdolei Karka, in such a case, just as when it comes to Hashmas Kol, Ramin Anochri, or Muktza, those Yisrei D'Rabbanan are lifted, Hu Adinami, when it comes to Disha, Shlo B'Gdolei Karka. So the Chiddush was perhaps that's not true. Disha Shlo B'Gdolei Karka is not merely a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Disha Shlo B'Gdolei Karka is a Malacha D'Rabbanan. There, in Achinami, the Maisa Malacha is clearly as is necessary midaraisa. It's simply in terms of Heftza, the Malacha daraisa is limited to Gdolei Karka. And here you're dealing with a behemoth which is not Gdolei Karka, but there's a world of difference between a simple Gzeirav Shemiyavo that the Isser D'Rabbanan does not resemble the Isser daraisa in any shape or form, but simply Shemiyavo, Mashenki, when it comes to Malacha D'Rabbanan. And perhaps one of the differences is this point. A malacha d'rabbanan remains aser, but makom cholesh she'ein bo sakana, only gzeros d'rabbanan are lifted, and that's why it's necessary for the Gemara tells in Ksuvos Nav Samach that a shinui is in fact necessary. Now, kila achar yad, is that considered to be an issur d'rabbanan as a malacha d'rabbanan, or is kila achar yad only a gzeira d'rabbanan? What is the halacha of kila achar yad? B'makom cholesh she'ein bo sakana. So Rav Shachter pointed out the following. There's a machlokas tanoim in Shabbos and daf mem amud beis. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, the Chiddush of Shimon Gamliel, the isha socha yado shemen ume mechamamta kineged hamadura v'socha livna katan ve'eino chosheshes. A woman is interested in smearing this oil right on her child, but she wants the oil to be warmed, not to the point that it's considered to be any malacha daraisa. Havsharas shemen, simply in order to warm oil. Here Rav Shemgalel says the following, warming the oil is allowed kalachar yad letzorech katan. So therefore, if you're going to warm the oil to smear on the katan, that's not kalachar yad. But if a woman will go ahead and place the oil on her hand, isha, sacha yada shemen, and then umechamamta kineged hamadura, and she'll warm it near the flame while it's on her hand, then she can take it now v'sach ben alkatan and rub her child with it. So what exactly is the chiddush, the shita of Shimon Gamliel? That havsharas shemen kila'achar yad is mutter litzorah katan. And the Gemara tells us in that sugya that the Tanakhama disagrees. The Tanakhama argues that even though clearly you are heating the oil al yedei shinui kila achar yad, nonetheless that remains also. So machlokes tanoim tanakam Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether havsharas hashemin kelaachar yad is mutter letzorech katan. What is the machlokes? Good. So the assumption is the following: that a katan, as we assume the halacha, is dino kechol shebol sakana. Katan here doesn't mean katan as opposed to gadol, but a young child, right? That is dino kechol shein bo sakana. Rafu is mutter, for example, for a young child. And Rav Shimon Gamliel assumes that sicha, the rubbing shemen on that child, is considered to be a tzorech. So Rav Shimon Gamliel maintains that, look, even letzorech katan, katan is dino kechol shein bo sakana. Number one, sicha is considered to be a tzorech. The chiddush is the following: so therefore, letzorech katan, letzorech chola, one could engage in a malacha kila achar yad. What exactly then is the chiddush of Shimon Gamliel? That if indeed a person is doing a malacha which is kila achar yad, so in such a case that is comparable to a gzera. And just as gzeiro sir mutter b'makom chol eshein bo sakana, as in hashmas kol, amir lanachri, mukta, and the like, hu hadinami, that kilachar yad is mutter when it comes to itzore katan. And what is the shita of the Tanakama? Right, lechora, the Tanakama is not disagreeing with the din klali that a katan is dino kechol eshein bo sakana. Well, maybe one could argue that the Tanakama assumes that sicha is not considered to be itzorech at all. And maybe the Tanakam will view this as that which is shelo letzorech, and therefore the Isser Derban remains. Or perhaps one could argue this point, and everyone agrees, a katan is dino kechola. And they're not denying whether sicha is or is not a tzorech. That's not the debate. The debate is the following: is a malacha klachar yad mutter letzorech katan shedino kechola? In our categories, that would mean, is a malacha klachar yad a gzeirah drabanan, or is a malacha klachayad comparable to a malacha drabanan? One could argue that, look, if klachayad is potter because of maleches masheves, so in such a case, maleches Shabbos that lacks maleches masheves, in such a case, how can that be a malacha in any shape or form? Not a malacha daraisa, not a malacha drabanan. Disha shalob lile karka, one could argue it's true, that it's not dumya demishkan in terms of chetza, but the maleches masheves is the same. If you're going to tell me that klachar yad means that that lacks maleches macheves, can it even be a malacha derabanan? Therefore, Shimon Gamliel argues it's only dino kegzera, in which case a gzera derabanan malacha klachar yad is mutter b'chol eshein bo sakana. And the Tanakama disagrees. It's not necessarily disagreeing with the detail as to whether sicha is or is not a tzorech. One could argue that no, according to Tanakama, I grant your positions. This is a tzorech, and it's dino kechola, but this is comparable to disha shlobu lekarka. This is considered to be klachar yad e malacha derabana. And in such an instance, that in fact remains aser. That's a possibility in the machlokes tanaim. But this issue is explicit as a machlokes haposkim. If you look in the Gleita, the malach of Tochen, and Osir Ches, Malachita writes the following chiddush explicitly, that a malacha daraisa, which is done klachar yad, is mutter b'makom chol eshein bo sakana. The Gleita is explicit that a malacha klachar yad is dino kegzera. And just as we lift the gzeros of hashmas kol, amir nachri mukta, hu hadinami when it comes to kila achar yad. Mishnah Berurah assumes differently the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah assumes in Shin Chav Ches, in Sif Katan Nun Dalet, that no, you require a shvus to shvus, b'makom chol eshein bo sakana. Meaning, if you have a malacha daraisa, klachar yad is insufficient to be matir b'makom chol eshein bo sakana. If it's a malacha derabanan, which itself would remain aser b'makom chole, but you do that klachar yad, now you have a shvus to shvus b'makom chole, a malacha derabanan kila achar yad, that is mutter b'makom chole shein bo sakana. So Rav Zagleital assumes that no, you don't have to come on to malacha derabanan. Even a malacha daraisa kila achar yad ayide shinui is mutter makom chole shein bo sakana as a gzeira derabanan. That's what the Glita writes, that's the Psak Halach of Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees and writes that you require a shvus to shvus. Klachar yad alone is insufficient to allow that to be done for the purpose of a chol eshein bo sakana. L'chora, that's the machlokes. Everyone agrees Klachiyad is a din d'rabbanan. Machlok is a gleital mishne brura as to whether Klachiyad is mutter makom chrolim shalgana. The question is, it's similar to that of Exer, is it similar to Amalacha d'rabbanan? So the mishne brura later in the Shar HaTziyun is bothered by the following kasha. This mishne brura is found in Tav Tzadivav, in Sivkot and Tes, in the Shar HaTziyun. If this is really true, the mishne brura's position, that Klachiyad is insufficient to be matir in iser, b'makom chola she'ein bo sakana, unless it's a shus de shus. So Mishnah Berurah is bothered. What do you do with the case of goneach? That's sugin ksuvas and afsamach. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that that's referring to a malacha daraisa. Cholev is a malacha daraisa. But if one milks lam al klach hayad, goneach yonek cholo b'shabis, it's mutter. Goneach is not a cholo sheyesh bo sakana. Goneach is a cholo shein bo sakana. Isn't it explicit the Mishnah Berurah writes that klach hayad is mutter, makam cholo shein bo sakana? Sounds like degli tal. Mishnah Berurah writes the following, that no, that gora hadavra mistan shinui ba'alma. That's the chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah writes. There are different degrees of shinui. If it's what the Mishnah Berurah calls a shinui kal, a shinui ba'alma, that remains aser makom chola shein bo sakana. If something is mishuna legamrei, shinui gamur, then I admit, Mishnah Berurah writes, that is mutter makam chola shein bo sakana. That's the sugi ksuvat asamach of goneach. So in a case of a shinui kal, that's the machlokes. So a person will do something klachariyad. Like Leita writes, that's mutter, zera. Mishabur writes that no, that's a malacha derabanan. If it's considered to be that which is mishuna legamre, there the Mishabur says, I admit, you see from the case of goneach, that is mutter makom shenem sakana. In other words, Zekli Tal assumes if something is considered to be kalach hayad, it's always a gzera. Mishnah Berurah writes, no, it's possible for kalach hayad to be a malacha d'rabbana. But it's very reasonable to assume that something can be so deviant from the derech ha-malacha that you can't even call a malacha d'rabbana. And that, the Mishnah Berurah agrees, is a gzera. So if you're talking about a person who, instead of writing with his right hand, writes with his left hand, that's a shini kal, that's a malacha d'rabbanan, that's called ksiva d'rabbanan. If someone literally is goneach, right, yonek chala b'shabes, he's sucking directly from the dad ha-behema, that's something that is so highly unusual. That's not called cholev d'rabbanan, that's not mefarek d'rabbanan, that's considered to be a gzeir ba'alma. That's the Chiddush Mishnah Berurah writes. You're forced to assume that there are different measures of shinui. Mishnah Berurah writes, some are mutter, some are aser, makom chola shein bo sakana. If you look in Beis Yosef is found in Shin Chav Aleph, the Ramaskal Kosav. He quotes the Shiboli Haleket, B'Shem HaRav Rabbi Yeshaya, that raises the following kasha. Our sugya. Here on Shabbos Kuf Mem Aleph, you're dealing with the case of Tochein. It's a malacha d'araisa. And the Gemara says that Ayide Shinui, it's mutter. Bekat de Sakin, it's mutter. Why is that true? That's the kash of the Shibuli Aleket. What do you mean? Kidarko is chayiv midaraisa. So ayyadei shinyo, it's mutla chatchila. How do you jump? But the Shibolek at Neme Beis Yosef raises another difficulty as well. What is kalach hayad when it comes to tochein? What is shinui? So we mentioned, that's the gin beitzan, daf yadal abad aleph. Even in cases that tochen is asr on yantiv, one can employ a shinui. What's an example of a shinui? The Gemara says the following, right? But it's a Mishnah of Reshes. Beitz Yidanim and Aleph. What's a Shini when it comes to Tochen? Madoch Shal Eitz. That's what the Mishnah says. If normally you use a stone pestle, using a wooden pestle, that's a shinui. So that's the other ha'ara, the Beis Yosef, famous Shibud Halakha. Number one is the following. Here, the shinui jumps from chayiv to mutter. But number two, this isn't the normal shinui. When the Mishnah looks for a case of shinui when it comes to tochein, so it just tells you, if normally the pestle is made out of evin, use a pestle which is made out of eitz, that's considered to be a shinui. Here, kata de sakina, use just simply the handle of the knife. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, double shinui, chada chada, not trei. What do you need such an obvious shinui for? So the Shibbol HaHilaket writes the following chiddush, that there are different degrees of shinui. There's a shinui kal and there's a shinui gamur. If one will slightly deviate from the derech hamalacha, you're right. That is a shinui kal. That form of klachariyad, although it's not a malachis umnus, the uman is going to use the madoch shel evin. Right? He's going to have the proper tools. He's not going to try to improvise with something that isn't quite exactly that which you should use for this purpose. That's not malachis masheves. That is klachariyad, which is sufficient when it comes to yentif. Because if tochin is melech ha'self ha'nefesh, shini kal is considered to be sufficient. Here, kata de sakina, that, the Shibbol HaHilaket writes, that's considered to be a shinui gamur. That's the chiddush. A shinui kal can never jump from chayiv to mutter. But if it is something which is a shinui gamur, just as we saw the different gradations of shinui in the case of goneach, in such an instance, that becomes mutter. The Beis Yosef continues, quoting the Shibbol HaHilaket, giving an interesting mashal. Borer. Borer bekli is chayiv midaraisa. And borer with a shinui kal, such as knon v'tamchui, is potav loser. And borer biyad, interesting chiddush, the Shibbol HaHilaket writes, that's a shinui gamur, which is mutter, b'chad chila. That's a chiddush. No, that the reason biyad is mutter when it comes to borer is because it's a shinui. We've all assumed that no, t'konon v'tanchui is shinui. That's potabel aser. And why is biyad mutter? Not because biyad is a form of shinui. Biyad is mutter because that's mamish derech achila. That's not derech breira. Derech achila, of course, is mutter. But here, that Beis Yosef, according to Shibbol HaHilaket, writes that borer biyad is the shinui gamur. Klon v'tamchui is a shinui kal, and that's the further model. What is true of borer is true of tochin, that you can have different degrees of shinui. And that's pshat then in the Tosefta in the Gemara, that somehow one can jump from chayiv to mutter if the shinui is so extreme. After all, with such an extreme shinui, you're not dealing with a malacha d'rabanan. You're just dealing with gzeros. And always when it comes to gzeros, every din d'rabbanan, but especially when it comes to a zera, but master l'chachamim, to determine when this act will or will not lead to a malacha d'araisa. If in fact you acknowledge this doesn't resemble the din d'araisa at all, and the only reason it's also is because of shema yavo, not everything is shema yavo. The chachamim have a right to determine that this is and this is not. Some cases of such an overt shinui, there is no such gzera d'rabbanan. And that's the chiddush when it comes to malacha of tochen. All the cases we've mentioned of tochen, the case in our Gemara Parham Silka, the next case of tochen, Sol is Silte, the case in the Tosefta, right, Avei Maraskin, the case of Knivas Yerek, right, the case later in the Gemara, just the multiple chatos, Chavita, Tanura, Chalsa, all the cases, right, happen to be discussing that which is Gedulei Karka. Every single case that we mentioned so far, no? And as we discussed in earlier Shiurim, right, this is the Ha'ar of Chumas Hadeshen, Chumas Hadeshen, Simen and Vav, that's because Ein Tochin, Ela, Gedulei Karka. And that's the Psa'ak Alachal Mechaber in Shin Chaf Aleph. even though the Gemara never spells out the principle, the Gemara only mentions it when it comes to Disha, the Gemara mentions it when it comes to Ma'amer, but every single case the Gemara isolates a Tochen is all Bilei Karka. That's because Ein Tochen, look at the Karka. That's the Chiddush of Shemas Adeshen. We pointed out earlier, Shiurim, the Yireim who disagrees, the Yireim and Reishai and Dalet. The Yireim assumes that a Behema is not considered to be Bilei Karka. So therefore, the Yireim writes that you cannot argue, as our Tosus does, and Daf Ein Gimel, that Cholev is Mefarek, which is a Tolda of Dosh, because the Behema is not called Bilei Karka. So therefore, what malachi is cholei? A chiddush, right? The malacha of tochein. That's the shita sayireim. Milking a cow is tochein. Up until now, the cholev was kanus v'omed. It was contained within the behemoth's ochel. Now it is converted, so to speak, released, and it is mashke. In such an instance, that breakdown, that's considered to be a form of tochein. But the Reim, as he pointed out, clearly disagrees and asserts that Tochin is not limited to Gudle Karka. The Gemara gives common examples of Gudle Karka, but not limited to Gudle Karka at all. That's the Chiddush of the Reim. And in fact, in those cases, he mentioned the Gemara, Chavisa and Tanura, there you're dealing with breaking up Rigavim of Karka. Is Karka of equivalent of Gidule Karka? According to the Reim, not necessarily at all. Karka is not Gidule Karka. Gidule Karka means like the crops that grow from the ground, not the earth itself, as it discussed earlier, the Ran Hilchos Sukkah. For purposes of Schach, Karka Mamish, it can't be used as Schach. It's not Gidule Karka. It's not Psolas Goren V'yekev. But yet, you're Chai Mishim Tochen, because again, right, this is considered to be a form of tchina. Tchina is not limited to Gudlei Karka. We mentioned earlier the Chiddush of the Ram regarding Ein Tochin Achar Tochin. Here the Ram raised the Kasha found in Tshuvas HaRashba, right, the Ram and Daf Lamed Beis, Samad Alef and Daf Yarif, that how is it mutter the Faris Alechem? Shouldn't that be a problem of Tochin? So, Terence number one of the Rashi we discussed, Tochin is Mutal Alter, just as Bor is Mutal Alter. The Ran says not necessary, and the Ran refers you to the Smag. This is also the Yireim and Reish Ayin Dalet, that Ein Tochin, Achar Tochin. What exactly does that principle mean? That Ein Tochin, Achar Tochin. When we do the Malach of Bishul, we'll discuss the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul seems to be a very different principle, although it sounds similar to Ein Tochin Achar Tochin. Pashup Shad Ein Bishul Achar Bishul means the following. Once an item is cooked, that item is altered. Its composition now is different. Now that it cools off, what do you assume? If it cools, Nizbato Bishula Harishon. When a cooked item cools, it reverts back to its prior status. Of course not. You start out with something which is raw. It is cooked. Now it is cooked and it is hot. It cools off. Right? It is a cooked item which is cold. So what do you mean, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Exactly that point. That the Bishul that was accomplished is still intact. Even the Achar Zman, even though it's no longer hot, it's no longer warm. One could argue, for example, as we'll see in the Sugya Bishul, that if one is dealing with a Davar Lach, then Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Because if it cools, you heat up water, and then it cools. So by cooling off, Nizbatel Bishul HaRishon. And you're back to where you started with, your cold liquid. Bishul Achar Bishul simply is understood in terms of whether yes or not Nizbatel Bishulo HaRishon. Is the effect of the first Bishul still in existence or is it not? Here, when it comes to Ein Tochin Achar Tochin, is that what we mean? that a person already engaged in tchina. And the question is whether that first tchina still expresses itself. Is it still relevant or was it undone? What do you mean it was undone? Here, one could suggest in tochin achar tochin is a very different principle entirely. When we discussed aspects of Dishav, that Tosas and of Ein Gimel Beis, we pointed out the Gemara later, and of Kuf Mem Heim and Aleph. The case in the Gemara of Kvashim. If a person has pickles, shesachtan, and he squeezes out its juice. So Rav says the following, if it's done, Lugufan, if it's not done for the purpose of using its juice, that's mutter. If it's limme mehen, but if a person is interested in squeezing out the juice to utilize the juice, then potter. So Rashi was bothered. Why potter? I understand if it's enot tzarech lemashke, that's not called disha. We discussed that earlier. But if you intend to utilize the mashke limme mehen, why is that potter? Why isn't that disha daraisa? So Rashi and that sugya, kufim him and alaf, diramaskal potter writes, Shalo godal besofa. Because that juice is not a natural unit. The juice together with the kvashim, with that which was pickled, that's not an organic, natural unit. A grape naturally grows together with its juice. The zayis together with the shemen, when you squeeze it out, that natural breakdown is the malach of disha, as the husk in its kernel. Here, shalom godol b'solchon. That's the chiddush that Rashi writes. If the unit is not an unnatural one, but rather it was a man-made compound, that's not called disha. That perhaps is the chiddush of Ein Tochen, Achar Tochen. Just as a mashnah, the Mishnah in Olos uses this lashon. The Mishnah Olos is found in Perek Gimel, in Mishnah Dalet. But the Mishnah tells us the following chiddush. Let's assume, for example, you have an etzem, and on that etzem is basar. So in such a case, that is a single unit. And if, for example, the etzem will be contained within an ohel, that will create a tumas ohel, even if the basar is outside of the ohel. Because since the etzem and the basar are a single unit, if something is mahil over the etzem, it's as though there is an ohel which serves as a canopy even above the basar as well. The Mishnah says, what happens if hayat chuvim b'di'adam? What happens if the basar and the atzamos, right, were man-made, right? A person takes a bone, right, and he sticks the bone through Bisar HaMeis. So the Mishnah says, if hayat chuvim b'di'adam, so then tahor. Then the halacha does not apply. When can you argue that it's treated as a single unit if naturally that is the case? This is an etzem with its basar. But hayat chuvim b'di'adam, that's not true. Why? Because the Mishnah tells us, she'ein chiburei adam chibur. That's Lashna Mishnah. Because a man-made compound is not lahalacha, a unit. Ein chiburei adam chibur. So you went ahead and you pierced a bone through Bisar HaMeis, that's not considered to be a single unit. To argue that if something is mahal over that sem, it's a tumah soba that encompasses, that includes the basar as well. This lachor is what's relevant when it comes to Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. It doesn't mean that since it Chefza was already subject to Tchina, it can no longer be subject to Tchina. That's true when it comes to Bishul. A Dabra HaMavushal is no longer subject to Bishul. Here it means the following. If something was already subject to Tchina, so therefore, how did it once again become a compound that you can suggest that you should be chayev for breaking it down mishum tochein? The answer is because it became a single unit. The chibur was created adei ma'isa adam. I already ground these kernels. So how did it become a single unit? What's the answer? Ayadei lisha, ayadei afia. So now it's a baked item. It's a challah, it's a cake, it's a cookie. The answer is that chibur be'adam is not considered to be a chibur at all. That's very different from a concept of in bishul achar bishul. Let's assume, for example, that there was no prior tchina. Let's say, for example, that you have particles of salt. Let's say you have particles of sugar. That as a result of absorbing moisture, it becomes a single solid unit. It's not that it was already subject to tchina, that I can say, ain tochin achar tochin, literal sense, but in such an instance again, the current unit is not a natural unit. And therefore, even to such a case, even regarding something that was never subject to a prior tchina, we'll still assume the principle of ein tochin achar tochin, because that is a new unit, a chibur mechudosh, as opposed to a chibur bofin tivi, something that naturally was done in that particular practice. With this in mind, you understand the kasha Rabbi Kiveger raises in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes in Simon Shinbeis, in Siv Zayin, what happens in a case of tit sha'al begadav? Let's assume, for example, there's mud, which is on a beged that a person is wearing. So the Mechaber writes, yesh omrim shim yavesh, aser, a person is not allowed to scrape it off, because to have itochin. That's what the Machaber quotes, the Torah in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz. Tit shal begadav. But the Kibbeger writes the following, right? The clump of dirt, little bit of mud, which is on a person's garment. The Kibbeger writes there in Simon Shin Beis, you shouldn't be chayyeh for that. Ein tochin achar tochin. That's Rabbi Kibbeger's kasha. What do you mean, ein tochin achar tochin? Why is that relevant? Ein tochin achar tochin. Right, this crust of tit or mud that's on a person's garment, what, was already nitchan? And since it's already nitchan, therefore, there should be no further act of tochin. That's not what happened. The answer is that no. Ein tochin achar tochin does not mean that there was a prior malach of tochin that was involved necessarily. It means that this is not a natural unit. So therefore, Rabbi Kiveger writes, if somehow some dirt mixes together with mud, with water, there's moisture, and now it's mud, and now there's a piece of mud which is on your garment, that shouldn't be subject to tochein. Ein tochein, acha tochein. It doesn't require a prior tchina. That's Rabbi Kiveger's kash in the case of tit. Rabbi Kiveger clearly understood as well. In tochen achar tochen, in terms of how is this unit, this compound, created. Even with this explanation, maybe one could argue as follows. The Rambam gave us another example of tochen. We discussed earlier of shaf mateches. A person files metals into small particles. That also is tochen. You're taking guf echad, it results in gufim harbe. We discuss that because the Ram gives you an example of something which normally we don't associate as gedulei karka, but rather as karka mamish. They pointed out a couple of possibilities in the Rambam Shita, either like the Yireim, the Tochein is not limited to gedulei karka, or for this purpose, karka mamish. Afor mateches is considered to be gedulei karka, even though when it comes to sukkah, that would not be the case. Here one could suggest, however, the following issue. When it comes to that example of shaf mateches, so now what happens? A person started out with metal. A person, let's say, files it down, and now you have those little particles, those chips of metal. And if you heat it up, right, it is going to melt and it's going to form a single hole. One could raise an interesting issue in that case. would you apply the principle of Ein Tochen Achar Tochen? On the one hand, was it subject to a prior Tchina? Yes. No, it was already all broken down, and now it was reconstituted. But interesting Chiddush, do you call this a natural unit or do you not? In other words, a person has a piece of matter which is a natural chibur. And the Rambam writes, if you were to break it down into particles, you have individual pieces. That's tochen. Good. If you will heat it to a very high temperature and the metal will melt together, now you're back to that which resembles its original compound. Maybe one could suggest that there, you would argue that yesh tochen achar tochen. If all you're doing is reconstituting, right? In the classic case of Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, where a person will go ahead and take grains and break it down into flour, right? And then when you reconstitute something else, now it's a challah. It doesn't revert back to its prior status as a grain. That's Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. That's considered to be Chibur Yadam, which is Eino Chibur. Would you also call this Chibur Yadam? Where a person can simply reheat and undo. Maybe in that sense it's similar to the concept of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, in the sense that when it comes to a davar lach such as water, you'll heat it up and then it cools back down. Mamish nis batal bishul harishon. Maybe one could argue that that concept could exist when it comes to tochen, in the sense that if nis batal tchina harishonos, in such an instance, that is considered to be a normal, natural chibur. If that's true, one could argue that even though we assume that in tochen achar tochen, in a case of mateches, for example, one would not be able to apply that reasoning. Then Gleitel addresses this issue, but in a slightly different way. The Gleitel is found in tochen in Os Chaf Aleph and in Dosh in Os Zayin. Gleitel writes the following chiddush: why do you assume in tochen achar tochen? So our possibility is because it's Chibur Yadam. This is what the Chazon Ish seems to stress. In Siman Nun Zayin. Veg Leital writes the following Chiddush. We just got through saying that we indeed assume that Tochen is limited to Gedulei Karka, the Iraim. Against the Iraim, the Sheet of the Trumas Edition. Tochen is limited to Gedulei Karka. Chiddush, Veg Leital writes, you know, I ain't Tochen achar Tochen, because that new Cheftza is not Gedulei Karka. If you assume like the Iraim, for example, the Iraim assumes that Yesh Tochen Shelo Gedulei Karka. And the Iraim assumes, and Reish Ayin Dalu just mentioned, that Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. So you can't understand the principle of Ein Tochen Achar Tochen in terms of Gedulei Karka. But if you should assume like the Trumas Edition, the tochen is limited to Gedulei Karka, maybe Ein Tochen Achar Tochen is simply a function of Gedulei Karka. A grain is Gedulei Karka. A challah is Gedulei Karka. Challah is not called Gedulei Karka. And maybe these two halachas go hand in hand. That's the Chiddush of Gleitel. The Gleitel then goes a step further. If this is true, then Ein Tochen Achar Tochen only applies to Gedulei Karka. As opposed to what? What about Karka Mamish? That's the Chiddush of Gleitel. What about real Karka? Afar or Mateches? Here the Gleitel writes that there we'd assume Yesh Tochen Achar Tochen. If you're dealing with Gedulei Karka, the new byproduct is not Gedulei Karka. Is that really true when it comes, let's say, to Mateches? It's very reasonable what the Gleitel writes, no? You take Mateches, which is karka, metal. Metals are karka. Right? You file it down. You heat it up. Right? Now it becomes guvecha. That metal is synthetic. That's not karka. The Gleitel writes that when you take a grain and you make it into flour, make it into a challah, very mistabra. A challah is not gedulei karka. Metal, which is reframed and forged, that's synthetic. That's not called metal. That's not called karka. That's the Chiddush Gleitel writes. That's why in a case of Shof Mateches, we assume Yesh Tochen, Achar Tochen. These are two very different reasons that we mentioned. The previous possibility a few moments ago was because there nizbatel tchina harishona. No, you're back to your original state. So that could be called a chibur tivi, not called chibur yadam. The Gleita writes, again, with this different approach, that the shem karka is not paka in such instances. Only the shem gidule karka is in fact paka. Because karka does not lose its status if it's just played with, if it's reconstituted. It's still dirt, it's still earth, it's still metal. And therefore, in that case, one will be chayiv. The Mechaber writes a further ha'ara. Right, this is found in Shin Chaf Aleph in Siv Tes. That we assume, as the Chumash Sedeshin writes, that Tochen is limited to Gidulei Karka. And therefore, something like Basar or Beitzim, that's non-Gidulei Karka. And therefore, the Mechaber writes that Mutter Lachtoch Basar Mevushal Otsli Dak Dak Pesakin. Therefore, when it comes to that which is not really karka, even chatichos ktanos are allowed. That chiddush of Tosfos that we saw earlier on the Kufya Dalet, tochen is chatichos dakos. And if one cuts a vegetable, it's necessary to do so be chatichos gadolos. That's when it comes to gdolei karka. When it comes to non gdolei karka, so in such an instance, then it's even mutter if it's dak dak. But the Mechaber writes, one caveat, that's only if it's pesakin, if you use a knife, for example. In the next sif, in sif yud, let's say you use a kli hamiyuchad lakach. Let's assume you use a grater in order to grate nangle karka. That the Mechaber writes is also. If it's pesakin, then it's mutter. But if it's a kli hamiyuchad lakach, then even nangle karka is also. Why is that true? If ain't chena elab gdolei karka, so why if you use a kli hamiyuch lakach is it aser? So clearly, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, in Sifkat Yud, this is an issur d'rabbanan. Because of uvdin d'chol. Right? A grater is a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of tochein, and therefore to utilize it even for something technically which is excluded from tchina, because ain't chena elab gdolei karka, nonetheless, that is also drabana because of the dechol. If you look, however, in the Bir Halacha, there in Shin Chaf Aleph, Mishnah Berurah is in Sif Katan Mem Hei, and the Bir Halacha is in Sif Yud Beis De Ramas Chul Midi. Mishnah Berurah just makes the following very important ha'ara. When do we assume that using a kli hamiyuchet tchina is only uvde dechol? That's only in such a case of the mechaber. When you're dealing with non gedulei karka, and therefore meikar hadin, there shouldn't be any isser of tochin at all. Nonetheless, using a kli hamiyuchet tchina, basar gvina, in that case, that is nisr drabana. But let's assume you're dealing with gedulei karka. There, utilizing a kli is nisa daraisa. Even if, let's say, it's done the altar. Using a kli for something that's not subject to tchina, that's nisa drabana vavda dechol. Using a kli in something which is included in tchina, that's the malacha daraisa tochin. Just as borim. Borer la'altar is forbidden midaraisa, b'nafu kvara. Tochin even la'altar is forbidden midaraisa. If the tchina is done b'kli, that's an important chiddush. When do we assume that kli is a problem d'rabbanan uvda d'chol when you're dealing with basar gvina that's not subject to tchina? When you're dealing with something that's subject to tchina, but there's a heter of derech achila la'altar, a kli is not called derech achila. And therefore, Nechinami is considered to be forbidden midaraisa, not just forbidden drabanan. The Ramah quotes a further chiddush of the Truma Sedeshim. The Ramah is found in Shin Chaf Aleph and Siv Tes. The Ramah writes that something such as basar is not treated as galei karka, and therefore cutting it up is mutter, even if you do so dak dak. Ramah quotes the Truma Sedeshim that says the following chiddush. Osr lachtoch dak dak besar chai lifnei ha'ofos. But to cut up the meat into very small pieces for ofos, who otherwise cannot eat the basar as is. The Ramah writes, ho v'nei yachol nechol b'lo chituch, since they can't eat it unless it's cut up, and the cutting is mash v'le'ochel, that's considered to be osr. Mishnah Berurah and Sivkat Lamed Gimel explains as follows. The principle that we normally have of Ein Tchina Ba'ochlin is because Ochel doesn't require Tchina. The Ochel is ready to be used as is. That's what we discussed yesterday. Parim Silka, maybe Bedavka Silka, Inu Necho Kmo Shulchai. Then you can speak about Ochel. But normally you're dealing with Ochel, which is Rai Lachila, like Knivas Yerek. So therefore the Chiddush HaTosos, that's not called Tochin at all. Here the Ramah is the Truma Sedeshim the following Chiddush. That if the basar cannot be eaten as is, unless it is cut up into tiny pieces, so therefore the Chumra Truma Sedeshim, that's considered to be asin. Megabi ofo shaykh beitchina because in yochom lochla b'lo chituch. There, the chituch is part of the processing of the ochel. And that, in fact, is considered to be aser. Interesting chiddush, that sometimes if you have tchinas ochlin, but the tchina gives it right, a new utility, not just simply that, it is part of the maisa achila. Before it couldn't be used for this, now it's used for that. In such a case, that's considered to be tochin. Like that chiddush of the Magen Avraham we saw in the Tosefta, no? About risut peros lifnei hazakenim, right? Bedavka lifnei hazakenim. If they couldn't normally eat the pri as is, and therefore as part as processing it for achil, it's necessary to break it down. And belav hachilo chazi lekach, maybe that's considered to be a form of tochin. It's similar to what the Ramah writes, right? Even when it comes to Besar Chai. If you look in the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Aleph Gimel, there the Magia, someone who has Ha'aras in the Mishnah Melech, writes the following Chiddush. When we did that Shuvas Rabbi Kiveg earlier about Zore, we discussed the Chiddush, what is the definition of Zore? Is it a form of Borer? Is it not a form of Borer? The Yerushalmi, scattering, the Balamor, the Magen Avram, Erev Pesach, which falls in on Shabbos, is one allowed simply to be Zore, Mifar L'Ruach, L'Chameis? Is that Mutter, is that Aser? Here the Magen Mishnah Malach writes the following Chiddush, that HaMifar Lechem Amanas L'Zerasa, if a person is breaking up Lechem into small particles in order to throw it into the wind, that is an Isser of Tochim. Interesting Chiddush the Mishnah Melech suggests, the Magi in the Mishnah Melech. That's considered to be a form of Tochim. The Prima Gadim disagrees. Prima Gadim here in Shin Chaf Aleph disagrees. It's not true. It's not true at all. But that's the Magi in the Mishnah Melech. In the Shvisas HaShabbos, right, in the Psich of Tochim and Sivkat and Zayin, it explains it along these lines. That the reason we normally assume that breaking down the ochel is not a problem of tochein is because even without that stage, it's still royal achila. So the breaking down, the cutting of ochel, is not considered to be in any shape or form the processing of the ochel. But let's assume it would, in the sense of risuk lifnei hazakenim, that as a result now of its being broken down, it can be utilized in a way that it couldn't before. Like the Ramaz case of Dak Dak Lifnei HaOfos, maybe one could suggest that is a form of Mash V'Lei Olchel. That's what the Ramaz writes. That's the Chiddush of the Magi and the Mishnah Malach, a very great Chiddush. That if your intent is Zor L'Ruach, L'Fazer L'Ruach, of this Chametz, and it cannot be done as is, you can't do that with a loaf. You're going to throw the loaf. That's not going to accomplish that goal. And the purpose of breaking it down to small particles is because now it will serve a role, a function, a purpose that up until now it could not. Maybe that is considered to be a form of tochen. That's the chiddush that Magid the Mishnah Melech, Mefar Lechem, Zaros Aleruach, that's considered to be a form of tochen. Prima Gadar writes, it's certainly not true. That's covered by in tochen achar tochen. And therefore that is not considered to be Yasser at all. Again, this all relates to, right, what we previously discussed. Even in our Tosos, of Mechate Chesayarek Levashlo, the Chiddush of the Rambam, or Davka Silka, if that cutting up is part of the processing, the possibility that that in fact could be Tochein. Right, so that's an obvious example that Tosos gives. There it wasn't subject to a prior Tchina in any shape or form, and there Imamish Dimit Gudei Karka. But these possibilities of Vassar, or the possibility of a Davar HaNitchan, if the further Tchina allows it to be used in a way that up until now it hadn't, in such an instance, maybe that's considered to be a form of Tochein. That's the Chiddush in Mishnah Malach. We'll have to discuss that Sugyan Beitz and Daf Yudalit. We'll do that in the next year. Tochein on Yantif, and then the concept of Shinui. There's a lengthy Tosus, which is very important. The Tosus discusses three different types of Peros and Yerakos of Ochlin that are relevant for Tochein on Yantif. And Tosus raises a very interesting issue as well, that how do you paskin when it comes to a suffik in a din drabanan? When do you apply the principle of speik around the kula? When do you not apply the principle of speik around the kula? Right, this all is what Tosus discusses in that place, in Beitz and Daf Yedalad, when it comes to Mlach of Tochein. So again, for tomorrow, let's do that sugya. Right, they'll see the difference between Tavlin as opposed to Melech, the Tudeus in the Gemara. Take a look at that Tosus. We'll talk briefly about Melech HaSofa Nefesh in terms of Tochein and the details of the Melech of Tochein and Nefesh.